We are continuing Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 20. And I think the contest has just started. Harry walked back to the tent and saw Cedric emerging from it, greener than ever. Harry tried to wish him luck as he walked past, but all that came out of his mouth was sort of a hoarse grunt. Harry went back inside to Fleur and Crumb. Seconds later, they heard the roar of the crowd, which meant Cedric had entered the enclosure and was now face to face with the living counterpart of his model. I wonder why they can't watch. Oh, maybe to get ideas or something? It was worse than Harry could have imagined, sitting there and listening. The crowd screamed and yelled, gasped like a single many-headed entity, as Cedric did whatever he was going to do to get past the Swedish short snout. Crumb was still staring at the ground. Fleur had now taken to retracing Cedric's steps around and around the tent, and Bagman's commentary made everything much worse, much worse. Horrible pictures formed in Harry's mind as he heard, "Ooh, narrow miss there, very narrow. He's taking risks, this one. Clever move, pity it didn't work." And then, after 15 minutes, Harry heard the deafening roar that could only mean one thing. Cedric had gotten past his dragon and captured the golden egg. "Very good indeed," Bagman was shouting, "and now the marks from the judges." But he didn't shout out the marks. Harry supposed the judges were holding them up and showing them to the crowd. You know, it really should just be based on time, right? "One down, three to go," yelled Bagman, as the whistle blew again. "Miss Delacour, if you please." Fleur was trembling from head to foot. Harry felt more warmly towards her than he had done so far as she left the tent with her head held high and her hand clutching her wand. He and Crumb were left alone, at opposite sides of the tent, avoiding each other's gaze. The same process started again. "Oh, I'm not sure that was so wise," they could hear Bagman shouting gleefully. "Oh, nearly, careful now, good lord, I thought she had it then." 10 minutes later, Harry heard the crowd erupt in applause once more. Fleur must have been successful too. A pause while Fleur's marks were being shown, more clapping, and then, for the third time, the whistle. "And here comes Mr. Crumb," cried Bagman, and Crumb slouched out, leaving Harry quite alone. He felt much more aware of his body than usual, very aware of the way his heart was pumping fast, and his feet tingling with fear, and yet at the same time he seemed to be outside himself. Seeing the walls of the tent and hearing the crowd, as though from far away. "Very daring," Bagman was yelling, and Harry heard the Chinese fireball emit a horrible shriek while the crowd drew its collective breath. "That's some nerve he's showing, and yes, he's got the egg." Applause shattered the wintry air like breaking glass. Crumb had finished, and it would be Harry's turn at any moment. He stood up, noticing dimly that his legs seemed to be made of marshmallow. He waited, and then he heard the whistle blow. He walked through the entrance of the tent, the panic rising into a crescendo behind him. Inside him. And now he was walking past the trees, through a gap in the enclosure fence. He saw everything in front of him as though it was a very highly colored dream. There were hundreds and hundreds of faces staring down at him from the stands that had been magic there since he last stood on the spot. And there was the horntail at the other end of the enclosure, crouched low over her clutch of eggs, her wings half furled, her evil yellow eyes upon him. A monstrous, scaly marks in the hard ground. The crowd was making a good deal of noise, but whether friendly or not, Harry didn't know or care. It was time to do what he had to do, to focus his mind entirely and absolutely upon the one thing that was his only chance. He raised his wand. "Accio Firebolt!" he shouted. Harry waited, every fiber of him, hoping, praying. It hadn't worked. If it wasn't coming... He seemed to be looking at everything around him as though some sort of shimmering, transparent barrier, like a heat haze, which made the enclosure and hundreds of faces swim strangely. And then he heard it, speeding through the air behind him. He turned and saw his firebolt hurtling toward him around the edge of the woods, soaring into the enclosure and stopping dead in midair beside him, waiting for him to mount. The crowd was making even more noise. Bagman was shouting something, but Harry's ears were not working properly anymore. Listening wasn't important. He swung his leg over the broom and kicked off from the ground. A second later, something miraculous happened. As he soared upward, as the wind rushed through his hair, the crowd's faces became the mere flesh-colored pinpricks below, and the horntail shrank to the size of a dog, he realized that he had left not only the ground behind, but also his fear. He was back where he belonged. This was another Quidditch match, that was all. Just another Quidditch match, and that horntail was just another ugly opposing team. Harry looked down at the clutch of eggs and spotted the gold one, gleaming against cement-colored fellows, residing safely between the dragon's front legs. Okay, Harry told himself, diversionary tactics, let's go. He dived. The horntail's head followed him. He knew what it was going to do, and he pulled out of the dive just in time. A jet of fire had been released exactly where he would have been had he not swerved away. But Harry didn't care. It was no more than dodging a bludger. Great Scott, he can fly! Yelled Bagman as the crowd shrieked and gasped. Are you watching this, Mr. Crumb? Harry soared higher in a circle. The horntail was still following his progress, its head revolving on its long neck. If he kept this up, it would be nicely dizzy. But better not push it long, or it would be breathing fire again. Harry plummeted just as the horntail opened its mouth. But this time he was less lucky. He missed the flames, but the tail came up, whipping up to meet him instead. And as he swerved to the left, one of the long spikes grazed his shoulder, ripping his robes. He could feel it stinging. He could hear screaming and groans from the crowd. But the cut didn't seem to be deep. Now he zoomed around the back of the horntail, and another possibility occurred to him. The horntail didn't want to take off. She was too protective of her eggs. Though she writhed and twisted, furling and unfurling her wings and keeping those fearsome yellow eyes on Harry, she was afraid to move too far from them. But he had to persuade her to do it, or he'd never get to them. The trick was to do it carefully, gradually. He began to fly, first this way, then the other, but not enough to make her breathe fire to stave him off, but still posing a sufficient threat to ensure she kept her eyes on him. Her head swayed this way and that, watching him out of those vertical pupils, her fangs bared. He flew higher. The horntail's head rose with him, her neck now stretched to its fullest extent, still swaying like a snake before its charmer. Harry rose a few more feet, and she let out a roar of exasperation. He was like a fly to her, a fly she was longing to swat. Her tail thrashed again, but he was too high now. She shot fire into the air, which he dodged, her jaws open wide. Come on, Harry hissed, swerving tantalizingly above her. Come on, get me. Up you get now. And then she reared, spreading her great black leathery wings at last, as wide as those of a small airplane, and Harry dived. Before the dragon knew what he had done, or where he had disappeared to, he was speeding toward the ground as fast as he could go, toward the eggs, now unprotected by her clawed front legs. He had taken his hands off his firebolt, he had seized the golden egg, and with a spurt of speed, he was off. He was soaring out of the stands, the heavy egg safely under his uninjured arm. It was as though somebody had turned the volume back up for the first time, and he became properly aware of the noise of the crowd, which was screaming and applauding as loudly as the Irish supporters of the World Cup. Look at that, Bagman was yelling. Will you look at that? Our youngest champion is the quickest to get his egg. Well, this is going to shorten the odds on Potter. Harry saw the dragon keepers rushing forward to subdue the horntail, and over the entrance to the enclosure, Professor McGonagall, Professor Moody, and Hagrid hurrying to meet him, all of them waving toward him, their smiles evident, even from this distance. He flew back over the stands, the noise of the crowd pounding his eardrums, and came in smoothly to land, his heart lighter than it had been in weeks. He'd got through the first task, he had survived. That was excellent, Potter, cried Professor McGonagall, as he got off the firebolt, which from her was extravagant praise. He noticed that her hand shook as she pointed to his shoulder. You'll need to see Madame Pomfrey before the judges give out your score. Over there, she's had to mop up Diggory already. You did it, Harry, Hagrid said hoarsely. You did it, and against the horntail and all, and you knew Charlie said that was the worst. Thanks, Hagrid, said Harry loudly, so that Hagrid wouldn't blunder on and reveal that he had shown Harry the dragons beforehand. Professor Moody looked very pleased, too. His magical eye was dancing in its socket. "Nice and easy does the trick, Potter," he growled. "Right then, Potter, the first aid tent, please," said Professor McGonagall. Harry walked out of the enclosure, still panting, and Simon Pomfrey, standing at the mouth of the second tent, looking worried. "Dragons," she said in a disgusted tone, pulling Harry inside. The tent was divided into cubicles. He could make out Cedric's shadow through the canvas, but Cedric didn't seem to be too badly injured. He was sitting up, at least. Madame Pomfrey examined Harry's shoulder, talking furiously all the while. "Last year, Dementors, this year, Dragons. What are they going to bring to the school next year? You're very lucky. This is quite shallow, and it'll need cleaning before I heal it up, though." She cleaned the cut with a dab of some purple liquid that smoked and stung, but then poked his shoulder with her wand, and he felt it heal instantly. "Now you just sit quietly for a minute. Sit, and then you can go and get your score." She bustled out of the tent and heard her go next door and say, "How does it feel now, Diggory?" But Harry didn't want to sit still. He was too full of adrenaline. He got to his feet, waiting to see what was going on outside, but before he'd reached the mouth of the tent, two people had come darting inside. Hermione, followed closely by Ron. "Harry, you were brilliant," Hermione said squeakily. There were fingernail marks on her face where she had been clutching it in fear. "You were amazing, you really were." But Harry was looking at Ron, who was very white and staring at Harry as though he were a ghost. "Harry," he said very seriously, "whoever put your name in that goblet, I reckon they're trying to do you in." It was as though the last few weeks had never happened, as though Harry were meeting Ron for the first time right after he'd been made champion. "Caught on, have you?" said Harry coldly. "Took you long enough." Hermione stood nervously between them, looking from one to the other. Ron opened his mouth uncertainly. Harry knew Ron was about to apologize. "Didn't he already, basically?" And suddenly he found he didn't need to hear it. "It's okay," he said, before Ron could get the words out. "Forget it." "No," said Ron, "I shouldn't have..." "Forget it," Harry said. Ron grinned nervously at him, and Harry grinned back. Hermione burst into tears. "There's nothing to cry about," Harry told her, bewildered. "You two are so stupid," she shouted, stamping her foot on the ground, tears splashing down her front. Then, before either of them could stop her, she'd given them both a hug and dashed away, now positively howling. "Barking mad," said Ron, shaking his head. "Harry, come on, they'll be putting up your scores." Picking up the golden egg in his firebolt, feeling more elated than he would have possibly believed in an hour, Harry ducked out of the tent, Ron by his side, talking fast. "You were the best, you know, no competition. Cedric did this weird thing where he transfigured a rock on the ground, turned it into a dog. He was trying to make the dragon go for the dog instead of him. Well, it was a pretty cool bit of transfiguration that sort of worked, because he did get the egg, but he got burned as well. The dragon changed its mind halfway through and decided it would rather have him than the Labrador. He only just got away. And that Fleur girl tried this sort of charm. I think she was trying to put it into a trance. Well, that kind of worked, too. It went all sleepy, but then it snorted, and this great jet of flame shot out, and her skirt caught fire. She put it out with a bit of water from her wand. And Crumb, you wouldn't believe it, he didn't even think of flying. He's probably best after you, though. Hit it with some sort of spell right in the eye. Only thing is, it went trampling around in agony and squished half the real eggs. They took off marks for that. He wasn't supposed to do any real damage to them. Ron drew his breath as he and Harry reached the edge of the enclosure. Now that the horntail had been taken away, Harry could see where the five judges were sitting, right on the other end, in raised seats draped in gold. "It's marks out of 10 from each one," Ron said, as Harry squinted up at the field and saw the first judge, Madame Maxime, raising her wand in the air. What looked like a long silver ribbon shot out of it, and twisted itself into a large figure eight. Mr. Crouch came next. "Not bad," said Ron, as the crowd applauded. "I suppose she took off marks for your shoulder." Mr. Crouch came next. He shot a number 9 into the air. "Looking good," Ron yelled, thumping Harry on the back. Next, Dumbledore. He, too, put up a 9. The crowd was cheering harder than ever. then Ludo Bagman, 10. 10, said Harry in disbelief, but I got hurt. What's he playing at? Harry, don't complain, Ron yelled excitedly. And then Karkaroff raised his wand. He paused a moment, then shot a number out of his wand to 4. What? Ron bellowed furiously. 4, you lousy, biased scumbag. You gave Crumb 10. See, it seems like they shouldn't have allowed the heads of the schools to be judges also. Kind of biased in general. But Harry didn't care. He wouldn't have cared if Karkaroff had given him 0. Ron's indignation on his behalf was worth about 100 points to him. He didn't tell Ron this, of course, but his heart felt lighter than air as he turned to leave the enclosure. And it wasn't just Ron, and those weren't only Gryffindors cheering in the crowd. When it had come to it, when they had seen what he was facing, most of the school had been on his side, as well as Cedric. He didn't care about the Slytherins, and he could stand whatever they threw at him. "You're tied in first place, Harry, you and Crumb," said Charlie Weasley, hurrying to meet them as they set off back toward the school. "Listen, I got to run. I've got to go and send Mom now. I swore I'd tell her what happened. That was unbelievable. Oh, yeah, and they told me to tell you you've got to hang around for a few more minutes. Bagman wants a word back in the champion's tent." Ron said he would wait, so Harry re-entered the tent, which somehow looked quite different now, friendly and welcoming. He thought back to how he had felt while dodging the horntail and compared it to the long wait before he walked out to face it. There was no comparison. The wait had been immeasurably worse. Fleur, Cedric, and Crumb all came in together. One side of Cedric's face was covered in thick orange paste, which presumably was mending his burn. He grinned at Harry when he saw him. "Good one, Harry." "And you," said Harry, grinning back. "Well done, all of you," said Ludo Bagman, pouncing into the tent and looking, as pleased as though he had personally got past the dragon. "Now just a quick few words. You've got a nice long break before the second task, which will take place at 9:30 in the morning of February the 24th. But we're giving you something to think about in the meantime. If you look down at those golden eggs you're all holding, you'll see that they open. See the hinges there? You will need to solve the clue inside the egg, because it will tell you what the second task is and enable you to prepare for it. All clear? Sure, well, off you go then." Harry left the tent, rejoined Ron, and they started to walk back around the front of the edge of the forest, talking hard. Harry wanted to hear what the other champions had done in more detail. Then, as they rounded the clump of trees behind which Harry had first heard the dragon's roar, a witch leapt out from behind them. It was Rita Skeeter. She was wearing acid green robes today. The quick quotes quill was in her hand and blended perfectly against them.
"Congratulations, Harry,"
she said, beaming at them. Oh, she's right, she's,
"Congratulations, Harry," she said, beaming at him. "I wonder if you could give me a quick word. How about how you felt facing that dragon? How about you feel now? About the fairness of the scoring?"
"Yeah, you can have a word," said Harry savagely. "Goodbye." And he set off back to the castle with Ron. And that's the end of chapter 20. Story read, chapter 21, called The House Elf Liberation Front. I hope you like that, my kitty. You're so cute. I'm going to let you take a little nap now. I love you so much.